Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
It's amazing what can happen in a year, isn't it? It's amazing what can happen in a year. Think about it. If we got to watch a montage video of the last 12 months of our lives, I think we would see a tremendous amount of change. For some of you, jobs have changed, or homes have changed, relationships have changed. You've had losses, you've had new beginnings. Some things you experienced this year were painful, and some things you never saw coming. I personally can attest to having a number of things in that category of you never saw this coming. And I'll give you one example. At the beginning of last year, the car on the left was my car. Now the car on the right is my car. Now, getting a new car is not particularly dramatic. But how I got there, well, that's a little bit dramatic. Now, it was mid-August. It was a Friday afternoon. I was driving home from the office. And I was driving into the city, and I was right near the train station. I was stopped at a traffic light. And I look out, and I smell this weird smell. And I'm like, that's weird. And I see some steam or something coming. And I'm like, okay, the vehicle in front of me clearly has massive exhaust issues. This is not good. The light changes. The driver in front of me moves off. And I keep driving. I round the corner. I park into my parking spot, turn my car off, grab my bag. And I see, oh, no, there's smoke in my car. That's not good. So I get out of my car, and as I'm getting out of my car, the neighbor across the street looks at me, and she's like, your car's on fire. I'm like, what? So I get out, I look under, and as I look under the car, yeah, there's some flames down there. I'm like, this is a problem. So I back away, I get on my phone, I start calling 911, I'm like, my car is on fire? And I'm talking to the fire department, and things escalate quickly from there. It went from a little bit of flames at the bottom of my car to this. All of a sudden, I'm standing on the side of the road watching my car just engulf in flames out of nowhere. Nothing seeing this coming. And I'm on the phone with the fire department. I'm like, you guys better get here fast. This is getting much closer to the building next to us than I am remotely comfortable with. Of course, I've never seen a vehicle fire before. I don't know. Like, is this thing going to blow up? I'm like telling the neighbors, like, stay away. Get out of here. Stay away. Don't come near me. And finally, the fire department shows up just in time, just as the flames are reaching the peak. And they're shooting water at it. They're doing all sorts of stuff. They got like the heater test on it. They spent like 15 minutes just dousing the engine because it was that hot and it was that far off fire. But it was all over super fast. It was unbelievable. 20 minutes, I go from having a perfectly functioning car to the husk that now is my car. It's literally burnt into the pavement underneath it. And Jess and Olivia were away for the weekend, and so I had that awesome phone call. My car burnt to the ground. I don't have a car anymore. I'm going to need to get a new car. It's amazing what can happen, the things that you never see coming, because there was no question, like there was no indication that this was going to happen. One moment my car's there, the next moment it's on fire. Many, many different things can happen to us over the year. And it's not just circumstance changes. We change too, don't we? We've all changed over the last year. And one thing that's for certain is you aren't the same person you were at the beginning of the year. You aren't that same person. And I want to dive in a little bit deeper into that idea today. If we're thinking about how we're different now than we were at the beginning of the year, I want to ask you a couple questions about that. How much of that change that occurred in you over the last year, how much of that change did you actually choose? And how often did it just feel like life was just kind of happening to you? How often did it just feel like we were running from one thing to the next, from work to the kids, to practices, to responsibilities, to whatever other fires, literal or metaphorical, that you're having to put out on a daily basis? So sometimes it just felt like we're just trying to keep everything from falling apart. And maybe you had things that you wanted for this past year. Maybe you really wanted to be able to spend so much more time with God. But something just always seemed to get in the way. You really, really wanted more margin in your life this year. But the calendar just kept filling up and filling up. You wanted to lean into peace, but there was always one more thing that you had to deal with. And in many ways, it can start to feel like we're not really living, that we're just getting by. In fact, just this past week, a friend sent me this quote, kind of talking about where she was at. And it said this: "I really want to enjoy next year, because I'm so tired of living in survival mode." So here's the question I want us to wrestle with as we step into the new year. What if next year didn't just happen to you? What if, instead of surviving another year, what if we actually thrived? And by thriving, I don't mean a perfect life or an easy life. I mean a life with meaning, a life with direction, a life where even the hard things that we go through are connected to something bigger. Now, here's the thing that may or may not surprise you. Jesus actually wants that kind of life for you. Not a life of scrambling, or a life of exhaustion or drift, or a life of always reacting. Instead, he wants to give you a life that's full, that's alive, that's on purpose. So what does it take? And how do we move from survival mode to a life that actually feels like it's worth living? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here this morning as we wrap up our series, Survival Guide. So Jesus actually makes it very clear the type of life he wants for you and me. And he says this in John 10:10. He says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." What Jesus wants for us, what he is offering for us, is a rich, full, abundant life. Here's a few more examples of Jesus saying this. In John 6:48, he says, "I am the bread of life." John 5:40, "Come to me and have life." St. Irenaeus kind of summed it up like this: "The glory of God is a man fully alive." And yes, this includes women as well. So how would you describe your life? Would you describe it as fully alive? Not just reacting to life, not just surviving, but living with intention and thriving? If that's not where you're at the moment, what's the disconnect? What's the disconnect between the life that Jesus came to bring you and the life you're currently living? I think that too often we find ourselves not living the life that God intends for us, because we aren't connecting our daily lives to the larger story of what's going on around us. I think we miss out on the larger story. And I think that disconnection between the larger story of what's going on comes up in a couple of specific ways. Maybe not the only ones, but a couple of them, is that we ignore the fact that we live with opposition. We ignore the opposition in our lives, and we don't live our lives from our purpose. And I want to get into each one of these things a little bit here this morning for you. We get disconnected from the larger story. So let's look at the first one. Let's look at the fact that we're ignoring opposition in our lives. And let's go back to John 10:10, and let's read the whole verse of John 10:10 this time. It says this: "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." See, right before Jesus talks about bringing us life, he tells us that we have an enemy in Satan, who is opposed to us having that life fully alive. And this is a part of the larger story that we often ignore, is that we have an enemy, that we live in a fallen world, that we have to deal with our own sin and the sin of others. And that creates opposition in our lives, opposition that prevents us at times, or that gets in the way of us living a life fully alive. Now, here's a simple analogy that may help us understand kind of how this works. About 6 weeks ago, I played in a soccer game, and it was the last game of our regular season. And we had to win this game to make the playoffs. And we wanted it. We wanted to win. We wanted to make the playoffs very, very badly. We wanted to win. So because we wanted it so badly, it should have just happened, right? It's never really that simple, is it? Well, the first piece of opposition we ended up having to deal with was ourselves. Early in the game, I stole a pass from one of the defenders, and I came in on the goalie. I put it right between the goalie's legs, and it hit the post and went out of bounds. I missed. Later in the game, one of our defenders tried to clear a ball and accidentally put it into our own goal. Like, we had to deal with our own human failings. We had to deal with our own mistakes, our own errors. We're creating obstacles to us winning. The same way in our lives, our own human failings, our own sin sometimes gets in the way of us living the life that we want to live. It creates opposition towards us living that life fully alive. See, later in the game, the second half, one of our guys, the ball came in and he got a breakaway. It was him and the goalie, and one of their defenders inside the penalty box came up and tackled him. And we're like, yes, we're getting a penalty kick. We're going to put this in. We're going to get back in the game. And the ref just never called it. Looked straight at it, watched the guy get tackled, never called it. The ref was an obstacle to us winning this game. Just like in our lives, sometimes we have to deal with the failings and the sins of other people. And sometimes those have consequences in our lives. Sometimes things that other people do affect us, cause us harm, cause us damage, whether it's in a big way or whether it's something small. And sometimes that creates opposition in our lives that makes it more difficult for us to live that life fully alive. The other thing that happened in this game, it was one of those second half, it was one of those wind storms, you know, the ones that we've had this fall that just blow everything all over the place. Well, the wind was blowing right directly in our faces the entire second half of this game. We'd go to kick the ball and it would just go nowhere. And so we're having to deal with nature. We're having to deal with that became an opposition for us. Just like living in a fallen world creates opposition in our lives. Whether it's natural disasters, diseases, sicknesses, illnesses, all sorts of other things like that create opposition in our lives that can sometimes make it more difficult for us to live that life fully alive. And of course, the other thing that made it difficult for us to win the game was obviously there was another team on the field. There was another team who was trying to stop us. There was another team whose job it was to prevent us from winning that game. And unfortunately, they did. But that same thing applies to us in our lives. There is Satan. There is an oppositional force who is working against us, who are trying to stop us from living a life fully alive in Jesus. And part of the story of why we struggle to live that life fully alive is because we're not aware of the oppositional forces that are coming against us. And too often, we're on the field of our lives playing as if there is no opponent and no opposition. And for us to thrive, that needs to change. For us to thrive, we need to understand this, and we need to understand how much we need God, how much we need Jesus to point out these areas of our lives and to help us deal with the opposition we're facing. But while opposition may explain why thriving doesn't just accidentally happen to us, it doesn't necessarily explain how we thrive. So the second one that we face is going to help us more out with that. See, I think the second reason is this. Another reason we don't live out our purpose or live our life fully alive, the life that Jesus is offering, is because we've become disconnected from our purpose. We become disconnected from the purpose of why we're here. Now, it wouldn't be one of my messages without a movie quote, so here we go. Matrix Reloaded, there is the Agent Smith character is facing off against the Neo character, and he goes on this long monologue, and part of that monologue, he starts talking about purpose. And he says this, it's purpose that created us, purpose that connects us, purpose that pulls us, that guides us, that drives us. It is purpose that defines us. And if we look at purpose, one simple definition we could create for purpose is simply that it's what we were created to do. What we were created to do. So my contention here is this. If we are created with a purpose, then unless we are fulfilling that purpose, we will never be fully alive if we are not living the purpose we were created for. Now, purpose is an interesting thing. And so I want to give you just another analogy about the difference between purpose and not purpose in our daily lives. So for the last couple months, I had been training for a race that was a couple weeks ago. So I went through this months-long training cycle to do this race. And during those months, every single run I did had a purpose. Getting up at 6 a.m. to run had a purpose. It got me used to being up early like I was going to be on race day. Those easy runs that I was doing some of the days, had a purpose because they were helping build the aerobic base to my running. Those track workouts and speed runs and interval runs and all those type of things that where I was trying to push the pace and go really fast, those were the workouts that were going to help me be faster on race day. The long runs I would do on weekends, they were helping me build endurance. When I got up and it was raining outside when I went to run, well, there's always a chance it's going to rain on race day. This is a good opportunity to test out my rain gear. When it started getting significantly colder, well, it's probably going to be cold on race day. I better get my body used to it so that I can succeed. See, when I was training, every single run, every single problem, every hardship was part of the larger story of trying to succeed during the race. Every single one of them had purpose. But after the race is done, and I'm not training for anything specific, now those runs don't really have the same purpose. Now they're disconnected from a larger story. It's the same shoes, the same road, the same effort, but the runs feel different. I mean, if you're not training for anything, how long should a long run be? If it's raining out, well, I'm not training for that. Is there really a good reason to run in the rain? It becomes so much easier to drift. Because when you lose your purpose, you don't stop moving, but you do start drifting. And purpose is what connects those small things in our lives to the larger story. See, without purpose, we're busy, but we're disconnected. We're moving, but we're not really going anywhere. We're reacting to events, but we're not really connecting them to anything. And see, that's why Jesus doesn't just give us things to do. He gives us a mission. He connects us to a purpose. And here's the mission he gives us. In Matthew 28, Jesus says this right before he heads up into heaven. He's giving this mission to his disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. See, God created you to follow him and to lead others into relationship with Jesus. That's your purpose. That's the purpose that connects you to others, that connects you to the broader story of the church and the broader story of the work God is doing in the world. Jesus has recruited you. He has placed you where you are, around the people you're around, in the circumstances you are in, and he has a mission for you right there. And when we connect ourselves to that mission, now all of a sudden, those daily things have purpose. Those people we meet, the places we go, the situations we encounter have meaning and purpose. And they can connect us to the larger story of what God is orchestrating in the world. I'll give an example of a time very recently where I felt like this, and I felt that connection to the larger thing that God had going on. I was running first thing in the morning, and part of my running course, on the one road, I encountered a barista that I know from a coffee shop on her way into work. And so I waved to her and said hi and kept on running. And about a half mile down the road, my watch died. And I track all of my runs on my watch. So it tells me my time, my pace, my distance, not to mention it's how I play the music that I listen to when I run. So my watch just died. It was having all kinds of problems in the cold. And I was not even close to done with my run yet. And this is one of those things that just annoys me. It just tweaks me so bad when technology doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And for me, I don't know if you're like this, but I don't just want to do an activity. I want credit for doing the activity. So I don't just want to, you know, I know I'm going to be looking at my phone the rest of the day. It's like, you did a great job. You ran 1 mile. I'm like, no, I didn't. I ran way more than that. I want you to give me credit for what I actually did. So it's one of those things that really, really annoys me. But it's one of those ordinary events that happen to us on a daily basis. Those little things that get in our way, the annoyances, the problems, the inconveniences, those type of things. Now, often, this would be something that would ruin my mood. It would ruin my run. I might even let it affect some of the other parts of my day. But I've been working on this idea of trying to live out of purpose. And so I was like, all right, God, what's up with this? What do you want me to do now? I've got the rest of this run. I've got nothing to track and nothing to listen to. What do you want me to do? So I'm like, all right, well, I could use this time and the rest of the run. I'll just pray. So I'm running, and I was like, all right, what do I pray about? And God brought to my mind the barista that I had passed earlier on the run. So I'm like, all right, I'll pray for her a little bit. So I spent a few minutes praying for her. I didn't have any specific requests. I just prayed generic prayers for her and that she'd be doing well. And turns out later in the day, I was in that cafe and got to have a conversation with her. And turns out she wasn't doing that well. See, one of her former coworkers had passed away the week before. And she was having a hard time and she was struggling with it. And that very day was her first day back to work since that happened. And in that moment, I got to talk to her about that, and I got to say, hey, you know that God was telling me that I was supposed to pray for you earlier today. because God knew that you were going to need some extra prayer today. I didn't, but God did. And she was really, really appreciative in that moment. And I can tell you it affected me too, because in that moment, I felt like I was living out my purpose. Like I was connected to the larger story of what God was up to. And then I felt a life, a little bit more alive in that moment. See, if I was living disconnected from my purpose, my watch dying would have been an annoyance, or I would have thought the world was out to get me, or I would have just thought it was one of those things that just happens, and I would have missed out on being involved in the larger story of what God was up to. So it kind of made me wonder, how many other times has God tried to set up one of those opportunities for me and I missed it? I missed it because I wasn't paying attention. I missed it because I had a bad attitude at that job that I didn't like, or that I was in, you know, I had my head down, I wasn't thinking about it, I missed chance to talk to my neighbors, or that I let circumstances or situations overwhelm me and I didn't look for the opportunities that were there because I was disconnected and I disconnected them from my purpose. So let me ask you, what daily ordinary moments are out there for you? Maybe opportunities in the past that you've missed. Maybe there are opportunities to connect something to your purpose and the larger story of what God has going on in the world. See, what would it look like if you started viewing that job that you don't really like, or maybe even if you do, through the lens of purpose? Instead of being miserable at work, maybe now you have the opportunity to be a positive influence on the people that you work with. What would it look like if we viewed your house and your neighbors through the lens of purpose? Now, building those relationships, having those conversations, showing them God's love, being a light on your street and in your block, now all of a sudden that has purpose. Or what if we viewed those extra 15 minutes while waiting for your kids' practice to get done through the lens of purpose? Maybe now that's just a moment for you to pause and connect with God. Or maybe there's even opportunities to build relationships with some of the other parents who are in the same boat. Those tough circumstances and those situations, what would it look like to live through those with purpose? Are there opportunities to grow? Are there opportunities to practice trust and faithfulness? Are there people God might want to bring into your life as a result of that tough circumstance, as a result of that situation that you may not have otherwise encountered? For me, with my car, I got to spend a lot of time in riding in cars with other salesmen. And I got to have lots of good conversations with different salesmen as I was test driving cars. And we even had several where I had good spiritual conversations in the car that I was test driving, which I would have never gotten to make those encounters without my car catching on fire. Not that I wanted that to happen. Or maybe God's just giving you the opportunity to practice dependence on Him. None of it is easy, but if we look through it through the lens of purpose, we can see that it does have meaning. And if we can make this switch, if we can start living out the daily moments in our lives with purpose, if we can make that switch, we might just find ourselves living a life more fully alive, living a life more connected to what God is doing in the church and in the world around us. So, something I want you to think through this week. God is offering a life where you can live fully alive. But so often we miss out on it because we don't realize that we are opposed. And we live disconnected from our purpose. So if we want to take hold of that life that's fully alive in 2026, we need to realize that we are connected to the larger story, that God has a purpose for you to help reach people for Him. And if we start to view our life and our circumstances as connected to our purpose, We can lean in and let God work in you and through you wherever you are and whatever is happening to you. You're going to start to see your life come alive. You're going to start to see that purpose exist. You're going to start to see the things you encounter differently this year. So will you stop letting life just happen to you? Will you start living life on purpose, connected to what God is doing? If so, this week you have the opportunity to respond on your connection card. Say, I will embrace my life as connected to God's larger story and use my daily life as a chance to live out my purpose. If you'll do that, check that off on your connection card. I'd love to be praying for you this week.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.